everyone, to Soul Tongue Sessions. You're on for another virtual episode with
Candace,
Delia,
and Jazz. And today we're going to talk about something that's near and dear to all of our hearts, and that is hashtag growing up black. So we're going to start off with a little black card revoked. A lot of y'all know this game. If you haven't played it, get it ASAP because it's hilarious. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions and we're going to chime in and see what it was like for all of us growing up black. Okay. All right. So number one, buzz in when you got the answer. All right. Question one. Let's start off easy. So what might your mama say you need in order to get some McDonald's?
Ooh.
Candace.
You got some McDonald's money?
Exactly. Do you have some McDonald's money? Because if not, we ain't stopping through this drive-thru.
It can't be any old money. It can't be cash, allowance, a savings. Nope. You ask for the thing, it's got to be that thing. You want some Fruity Pebbles? You got Fruity Pebbles money?
Right. Exactly. All right, question number two. When someone gets up in church to give their testimony, what do they usually start off with?
See, I have like multiple answers for this one, so I don't know.
There are multiple answers though. All right, give us one, Dee.
Okay, I was gonna say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, saints. Okay.
Praise the Lord, saints. All right, mine would be first giving honor to God.
That's Kojic, girl. That's Kojic happening right there. The apostolic.
Mm-hmm. You can get a praise break off of that alone.
No, I would hit you with one of these. Just while she shimmied her way up, while she made her way through. Okay. And then if you're down. I don't know.
This would be like an all of the above. All of those answers definitely count for that one. All right. Here's another easy one. What was the nickname your mama gave to your significant other?
I know this one, Delia. Your mom or your grandmother.
Go ahead, Candace.
Where your little friend at? This kid isn't her little friend.
Little friend. Your little friend coming to the house today.
You're 37.
Grown man.
Grown man.
I kid you not. Two Thanksgivings ago, before I was married, I was my husband's friend that he brought to Thanksgiving. Oh, he brought his friend to Thanksgiving this year, y'all. I'm like, am I still the little friend? I'm grown.
Oh, man.
All right. Here's a cultural entertainment reference. I know Dee know this one. All right. Approximately how long did Sophia have to fight in The Color Purple?
All her life. All her life.
Say it, Dee. Do the line. And see. Do it.
She's weak right now. Get into character, D. Come on.
All my life I had to fight.
Bravo, bravo.
I can't. Y'all are tripping.
All right. Mercy. Think back to all the barbecues you've been to, all the cookouts, all the Thanksgivings. This is a food question. It's a clear sign that the food will be good if the chef has what?
Ooh.
I don't know if I know this one.
If the chef has... Wait, are we outside or inside? It's barbecue?
Well, see, there's a barbecue answer and then there's another answer. What's your barbecue answer?
I don't have... Oh, beer?
So if the cook is drinking while he's cooking.
Well, yeah, but the
barbecue and he might sip, and you know what you need to bring him if he gonna help you out that day? Just bring him a six pack.
Exactly. The one I was thinking of for barbecue, he gotta have them sandals, the leather joints, the slide-in sandal joints.
Okay.
But the one this is talking about, the chef is a woman, usually an auntie, a grandma, a mom. If she got that extra arm fat right here.
Ooh, yes.
She got them thick arms.
Arm fat is the answer.
That's horrible.
But
yo, it's true though. It's true. Think about it. All them aunties, if you go to a church picnic or a church event, the cook, she always got that extra chunky meat and the food be fire.
Oh my gosh.
Well then, I can cook my food every time. I'm an auntie and I got arm fat. That's all I need, right? To meet this criteria. Mm.
Exactly.
That's what all I right. got. Give me this jiggly arm. Thank you. It's a sign to all who come near.
Y'all gonna make me put on my waterproof mascara before we do this next time. I can't. Okay.
Wait, give us that line again, D. What she say?
No, not doing it. I can't.
Okay. Here go the last question.
Okay.
How do Black parents apologize to their children?
No, it's the same, Delia. It's the same in every culture. You know this one.
I don't know which parents y'all had that apologized.
Exactly.
It's not an apology, though. It's not, how do they apologize?
What offering do they?
I don't know. I mean, I probably know as soon as y'all say it, I'm gonna be like, oh, right.
You know. It's,
what is it?
Hey, you hungry? You want something to eat?
You want something to eat? That's everybody.
Yeah, I don't even know if I got that. I'm trying to think. I got that. I mean, I can give you something to cry about.
Oh, yeah.
I got that.
Yep. We all got
I don't think I was offered food. I was just
That was in a healthy Black household. It was like, apologize. What? Peace offering. Whatever. Better go lay down and take a nap.
Right. So today we talking about growing up Black, and it always amuses me and slightly amazes me that no matter where you grew up in the United States, we all have the same childhood. We have the same memories. We had the same rules growing up. It's the universal Black childhood experience. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to think back to our past, to our childhoods, and compare a little bit, compare and contrast, and see what it was like growing up Black for all of us. Right. So, ladies, let's start off with a little bit of geography so we can get some context. So, where did you grow up, and what was it like in your household? What was the vibe growing up?
I grew up on Long Island in New York. And I grew up in a predominantly white neighborhood. So we were the only, you know, Black people in the area. But we went to a very diverse church. So most of my Black friends were from church. But my household was very strict. So we weren't really allowed to do too much. But there was always either friends or family around. So our house was kind of like the spot to be at. It was always very busy, lots of people around. Everybody always coming over, so it was that kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
Candace, how about you?
So I grew up in the inner city of St. Louis, on the north side, right off of Natural Bridge and Kings Highway. Nelly made a song about it. But I went to school in the county. So I was a part of the desegregation program that was called DSEG, not creative. And so my education was predominantly white and my upbringing was predominantly Black. So I have that kind of duality when it comes to how I see things. And yeah.
I think all three of us definitely had that duality, because for me, I grew up in a small town called Alamogordo, New Mexico. It's close to the border. So there was a high Latin population. There was a high Native American population.
Nice.
Sprinkle a little bit of Black people and a little bit of white people. So that was kind of how I grew up for like the first 11 years until I moved to the East Coast. So yeah, obviously like our family, Black, you got that Black cultural upbringing in the household, but then your school might not be the same. So I think it seems like that was the case for all three of us. But for y'all, like growing up in the 80s, the 90s, what was kind of like your daily routine? Like taking it back to when you were a latchkey kid, like were your parents at home, or did you have a lot of time where you were kind of like independent on your own?
Yeah. What's latchkey? What's that again? Oh,
that's when you carry your own key to your parents give you a key to the house because they're not home. So after school, you let yourself in the house and you
by yourself.
Yeah.
So it's not like a program. Like, it's not a Reagan-era program. I thought latchkey was Reagan-era program. Like, we have DARE. We have No Child Left Behind. We have latchkey. No?
No. No. So you were not a latchkey kid.
This just did something. I'm like, let's bring latchkey back. Like,
no.
Okay, well, I just learned something tonight. I was a latchkey kid.
Oh, you were a latchkey kid.
Okay.
If that's the definition.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was like an after-school program, like Head Start, but okay. I really did, like really did. Man. So I was latchkey from fifth grade, and I was not good at it, even though I was the oldest. I would leave my key in my desk at school, and like I said, we were D6, so we were bused an hour and a half from our home to go to school. Mm-hmm. So the bus driver was like, I would tell him halfway, oh man, I left my key. And he knew you gonna be standing outside of this complex if I don't. So if it was snowing, he would drive the bus all the way back. He had called D6, tell them that he's gonna be late on the radio, right? With the bus radio. What? Everybody on the bus would be pissed, like, oh, and so now no one's getting home before 5:30 if I leave my key. Yeah. And it happened one too many times. The whole suburbs had a key to our house. Let me tell you, they just weren't gonna find it.
Yo, somehow though, I'm not surprised, Candace. Like, I could see you in realizing that moment while you're on the bus, like, oh shoot, like, dang, I left it again. I would have been so mad at you if I was a kid on your bus. I would have been so mad because I was the opposite. I was the one, I'm the middle child in my family, but I'm the only girl. Mm-hmm. So I had like a lot of like the home responsibilities. So I had the key, and every day after school, I would let us in. We had to call my mom first thing. As soon as we got in the house, lock the door, call my mom at work, let her know, hey, we in. She's like, all right, get a snack, start your homework, and then you can watch TV or go outside and play. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of like our routine. But I was a latchkey kid from like early elementary school. Like, I was mad young when we used to stay home by ourselves. And it's like, you think about it then, and it was like a different world than it is now with how kids grow up.
Mm-hmm.
There
was no like social media too, so the worst you could do is start watching cartoons. You watching Animaniacs instead of doing your homework. That was like the worst that you could do,
right? Or Ren and Stimpy or something,
right?
So D, were you in the latchkey program, as Candace called?
Yes, I was in the latchkey
era latchkey program.
yep. When I was younger, so I'm the oldest. I grew up as the oldest, and when I was younger, it would rotate like carpools. So, you know, I'd have auntie pick us up, take us to her house until mom and dad got home from work, and then they'd come get us, and then it would rotate. So sometimes auntie pick us up, sometimes cousin pick us up, sometimes my dad would pick us up, and then everybody, we just kind of rotated houses. But then once my mom had my little brother and she decided to stay home with him, she was home with him for a few years, so we didn't really have to worry about that. But then when she went back to work, we were latchkey kids. And by that point, I was in middle school. So it was really, I had after school programs and stuff like that too. So like actual after school programs, Candace. but there was, so most of the times there was somebody home. Like, my mom was usually home by the time I got home because I had track or drama or something after school. So I was coming home late anyway. But on the times that I didn't have anybody coming home, I had my own key, had to let myself in. There'd be times I'd have to pick up my brother and my sister from school once I started driving in high school. So there was a lot of responsibility for me to get to where I needed to get to or be home when I needed to be home independently. So there was a lot of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So y'all remember outside, when outside was a thing? And I'm not talking about BC outside, before COVID outside. I'm talking about 80s, 90s, playing outside, where the worst thing that could happen in your life was for you to get grounded and not be able to go outside.
Mm-hmm.
So did y'all play outside or no?
So like early 80s, we played outside a lot, right? Because we had the big backyard. There were five kids in my house when I was younger. So we climbed trees and we ran. And, you know, the worst thing that you can hear coming inside is you smell like outside. Like, go upstairs and wash up. You smell like outside. I'm like, what? But then, like, I think a little bit, like, later, I don't remember outside that much. I remember Double Dutch. Ooh. Mm. Wait. I remember, did y'all play Catch a Girl, Get a Girl?
Is that like hide and go get it?
Yes. Trifling game of the hood. But
that's
yeah.
The titles that I know.
Yes, it was around that time that I was no longer allowed to play outside when playing became, you know, mm-hmm. a little more physical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Dee, what about you?
We played outside for most of it because we had a really big backyard and front yard, and our house was set off the street. So we didn't have to worry about being on the street. Mm-hmm. We had a tree on our driveway that was like the stopping point. You don't go past this tree.
Ooh, boundary.
And even when like friends would come over, we have to be like, you can't go past that tree. And I remember one time I had a friend come over and he was like, why? I was like, that's the rule, you can't go past the tree. And he was like, what happens if I walk past this tree? I was like, you gonna get in trouble. Yeah. And then he walked past the tree and I legit was like, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. He was a bad influence because then I started going a little bit past the tree, but past the tree was too far because then you would hit the street.
Mm-hmm.
So my parents were trying to keep us from having to, you know, so that they didn't have to watch us 24/7. They could say, stay behind the tree, and then y'all have free reign of outside. And so we played outside a lot. But as I got older, I became more into books and writing and reading. And so I became more of an inside person than an outside person.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. Yo, the kids in our family, we lived for playing outside. Like, not a day went by that we did not go outside. And I mean, growing up in the desert, it doesn't get cold in the wintertime really like that. So you can literally be outside year round and it's the best thing ever. So we used to ride bikes. We used to skate on our rollerblades. And my parents, like, thinking back, like, they gave us a lot of freedom. Like, we didn't have to stay in the yard or nothing. We could go. Our neighborhood had four streets. It wasn't very big. We had four streets, and it was like it made a big block. And then, like, behind the neighborhood was all desert, like literally flatland desert, a bunch of dirt and sand. And you could go back there and like make mud pies or like play tag, play catch, like whatever. So we would always, always, always be outside all day. Like, it wasn't even. Like, come check in. Like, we just would be outside all day long.
Did y'all have to be home by, did y'all have the street light situation?
We yep.
got the street lights.
You gotta be home by the time the street lights come on. Like, that was basically the only rule. Yep, street lights. As soon as you see them come on, you know, it's time
we
to
We didn't
go.
Have street lights because we were set too far back and we don't have any lights on our driveway, which is also why we never got trick or treaters for Halloween because it looked too scary. Mm-hmm. But my dad had porch lights. So we knew when the porch lights were coming on or the front of the house lights were coming on, that was when it was time. If you could be outside and the porch light could come on by like motion sensor, then you needed to come inside.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yep. But we used to play that game because since we have four streets, all of the street lights didn't come on at the same time. They would like start and go. So it's like, well, the first light is on, but our light isn't on, so we can stay outside a little bit longer.
That's fun.
Yeah. I think that's why you love like outdoors now, right? Parks and waterfalls.
Yep.
There's a lot. That's exciting.
And that's why I don't like being outside and hiking. I don't.
True. But yeah. I love anything with water just from growing up in the desert because we never saw, like, the first time I saw the ocean was, I think I was like 11 when my parents took us to California. We went to Disneyland Mm-hmm. And then we went to like Santa Monica and like all the beaches and stuff. And it was like, oh my God, the ocean. Like, it's my first time seeing this big, huge body of water. I love it.
Delia, when was the first time you saw an ocean?
When I was like 4 months old. I don't know.
I think I've been deprived. Because see, Missouri is landlocked. So we got river. We got a river. Yeah. Well, we got two, actually. We have the Mississippi comes down one side and the Missouri comes down the other one. Mississippi is brown, so that don't really count for water. I mean, it's basically sewage, right? So, for me, that's what I associated as natural water. I had no interest in oceans or anything because I just thought it's going to be like the Mississippi. I think it was my junior year of college the first time I saw an ocean, like a big body of water. Yes, and I was overwhelmed. Yes.
You haven't gone to the beach or anything?
No, like Missouri is landlocked. Like there's no, the further, we could go to lakes. So we have Ozarks. We used to go to the lake and the lake was like the biggest body of water I'd ever seen, like a lake. I'd never seen a beach. You got to go really far to see a beach if you're right in the middle of the country. And so, yeah, my junior year of college and I was overwhelmed. I was like, this is a death sentence. Like who made this? Like, why would you do that? Somebody go die in here. Like, yeah, it's overwhelmed.
What? That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't even remember because my family, being from a different country, we were always traveling. So, like, I went to different countries when I was smaller. And my mom was very particular about American people because she was like, this ain't it. She was like, this is not supposed to be blue. Like, this is not, I'm supposed to be able to see my toes. This is not it. So we actually didn't go to any beaches in New York or on Long Island growing up. We went elsewhere. So when I first went to a beach in New York, I was like, what? Take me out of here. I'm not coming here.
That makes sense. But Dee, so what was it like for you and your household coming from like a Caribbean background? Because me and Candace, we like straight up African-American, but you have that
added advantage,
that added flavor. So what was that like in your household and what was the vibe and what was kind of like your mom's role in the family?
It was, it's funny because I didn't know anything different. So I didn't even understand that there was Caribbean Black versus African American Black. Like, I didn't know. I just knew that this was my family. My family has accents, but to me, it wasn't an accent. It was just the way everybody spoke. Mm-hmm. I think it was just kind of what it was. My dad worked a lot and he had several different jobs at one point, which a lot of people have a stereotype of Jamaican men having lots of jobs. I didn't know that that was a thing. I just knew my dad worked hard to give us what we had. My mom was a very like quintessential Black mother, but I also noticed that there were some Caribbean things in there too that she kind of held on to teach us, you know, where we came from. And also like our food was huge. And like our Caribbean calypso music was also huge. So there was always that going on in the house, but I didn't know that that wasn't like what everybody knew, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I also didn't realize that I was missing some of the other things that my Black American friends had or knew because we didn't have that. Mm-hmm. So there was a little bit of a divide, but then I didn't know what I didn't have and I didn't know what I had until much later once I went to college.
Right. Mm-hmm. But so then you, like, I know you're big on TV and movies. So like growing up, like watching Fresh Prince, for example, did you feel a disconnect at all? Or like what was kind of like your point of interaction with what you saw on TV with like the Cosby shows, Fresh Prince, Martin, all of them?
To me, they were just like fantastical beings. Like when I saw them on TV, it was like, wow, these are amazing people. I want to know what that world is like. But then I would be home and it wouldn't be anything like that. So mm-hmm. to me, it was like, I knew that I wanted to perform, but I didn't even know that that was attainable until I went to college.
Right.
I didn't know that I could be one of those people until I went to school and was like, wait, I can learn to do this? Like, for real? It was just kind of like, these are these beautiful people that I see on TV, but that has nothing to do with my life here because that's not what I know, mm-hmm. you know? So it was really more like just kind of like watching this beautiful story of people that I saw and was like, wow, she's beautiful, he's beautiful, they're acting really well. I would love to do that. So I'm going to audition for my high school musical. But I didn't think that it could go beyond that, you know, until much later. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that I think about is like even going to school with lunch was very different. We went to school with like a hot thermos and like full meals, you know, as opposed to friends who came to school with like a sandwich or peanut butter and jelly or no, we went to school with like curry goat and rice and peas like that.
what's in your thermos? Was it soup?
Sometimes it was soup. Sometimes it was literally curry goat and rice and peas inside the thermos to keep it warm.
Yes.
I didn't know.
Like gourmet. Oh my gosh. You know, and that's pouring out your little.
But see, I think that's funny because African American kids that I can recall, and in my experience, we never went to school with soul food like greens, cornbread, pig feet, chitlins. Like we assimilated more to like the American, like you saying, sandwiches, like cold cuts, Lunchables. If your family had it like that to get Lunchables. But yeah, that's interesting.
My mother was not buying no Lunchables to save nobody's life. That was not happening. Unless it was like a field trip, and even field trips, it was like, Mom, please. No, field trips, she would make us corned beef sandwiches. Like there was no Lunchables.
I was eating good.
Dang.
That's like, when corned beef was cheaper. Now they're doing it $6 a tin.
Candace, though, like for you growing up in a house with a lot of Black women, so you have like sisters and, you know, surrounded by so many women, what was that like as a kid growing up?
I didn't know. There was a frustration because my mom, like, y'all talk about like running outside and going and all of this. We had growing up like in a city, we had like a major road at the end of our block, both of our blocks, right? So there was an alley that you could cut through to get to like behind the houses where the dumpsters were and then into the backyard. And my cousins, the boys, like they would run around and they were free to run through the alley to get into the back of the house, and they would do it like a magic trick. And I, when I tell you the first time my mama asked me to bring her a switch is when I ran through that alleyway. I remember it to this day. I was like, I don't understand why I'm being beat for something that the boys can do. And my mom was like, and now of course I get it. Like things go wrong for chicks in alleys. But at the time I was like, as I grew up seeing like my mom, she taught us etiquette. Like we had these lessons every day and she was like, walk like this. See if you can balance a book on your head. Like when I tell you this woman was made, okay.
That makes so much sense now. I see it. Like, that just clicked in my mind now. You actually did the book on your head?
Yes.
What? Wow.
We did the book on our heads. I learned how to sit and cross my legs. And she, like, I would have on, like, a full-on dress situation. I had my hair in a bun. I'm gonna post a picture. You go see. And my hair was, like, really tight ballerina bun. And we would, like, walk through the living room and sit like a lady. And my mom's favorite phrase is, that's not ladylike. That's not ladylike.
Are you serious?
I lessons while my cousins were making snowballs and playing, and all I wanted to be when I grew up was a boy. Like, I was like, I want to climb a tree. Like, that's not ladylike.
That makes so much sense why you always show up to any event in a floor-length gown, full makeup, hair done, high heel, like everything. That makes so much sense now. All right, y'all. So a big part of growing up Black was the Black mama. Okay, this is like the quintessential piece of the Black family. So for y'all growing up, what did it mean when your mom started playing either gospel music or Anita Baker early at the butt crack of Saturday morning? What was that a signal for?
Time to get up.
That's what it was. Time to get up. Mm-mm. It's time to put covers over your head because some baseboards need to be washed. You're going to be washed, you know.
It was time to get up and get moving. That's what
exactly.
It was.
It's time to get up and get moving, and this house needs to be cleaned from top to bottom. Bathroom, kitchen, baseboards, all that. It's so funny how we all had that like universal experience.
What was the signature scent of a Saturday morning for you? Like what product was wafting through the house?
Pine Sol.
Like no Pine Sol, did you clean? Did you?
Pine Sol and Comet for the bathrooms.
Yes.
Ajax. Yep. That lemon Pine Sol. So even to this day when I smell it, I'm like, gosh. Like, here we go. Like, it's like, I'm like Pavlov's dogs, you know, except the other way. Like, it's not a good situation. See,
but I feel like my house doesn't feel clean if I don't smell that. Like, I've got Comet under my bathroom sink because I'm like, that's what I need to clean with. Like, nothing else is going to work. Mm-hmm. I have to use the Comet. Mm-hmm.
And you know, 80s and 90s Pine Sol and Comet was toxic. Compared to what they got now. Like, you know, that stuff, they got a new formula now, which means safe.
Wow. That's hilarious.
What were some of your chores that you guys had to do?
I had to do, usually, well, we rotated the kitchen. So I would have a week and then my two brothers would each have a week. So that was kind of how we kept up with it. But my mom was particular about the kitchen. The kitchen did not just mean washing the dishes and that's it. Nope. The kitchen meant washing the dishes. We had to dry them and put them away, wash them by hand, not use the dishwasher. You got to wipe down all the countertops, all the cabinets. You got to wipe down the stove and from time to time take off the eyes of the stove and clean underneath and then put it back on.
Why you didn't have a dishwasher?
Ain't no dishwasher. You gotta clean it by hand. Make sure they get nice and clean. We had to clean out the refrigerator. We had to sweep the floor, mop the floor, like until all that is done and the sink is drained out and the dishcloth is hanged on the thing drying, then you're not done with the kitchen.
Yeah.
It was all of that.
Yep.
What do you have to do, Dee?
So my mom would have us switch off, me and my sister, because we're closer in age. So between me and my sister, we would switch off kitchen duty versus like bathroom laundry duty. So we would switch off every week, every other week. And so kitchen was the same deal. We had a dishwasher. We used it occasionally, but we really didn't use it all that much. It was wash it by hand, dry it, put it away. There wasn't a lot of like, let it sit in the drying rack. We didn't really do a lot of that. Wow. Making sure everything was properly wiped down. And then my mom would come around with the finger dust test to make sure stuff was taken care of properly. She did that. Mm-hmm. So my sister and I would switch off. I loved doing laundry and like dusting in bathrooms. I hated washing dishes. I still don't like washing dishes to this day. I have to use gloves because I can't touching like food particles when they're wet and mushy from the sink. Like I can't do it. So if I have gloves on, I will clean the mess out of something, but I can't do it without gloves on. But I remember being like maybe 13 and my sister was like 11. And I told my mom, and I was always a negotiator growing up. So I was like, Ma, look, I will do laundry, dusting, bathrooms, vacuuming, windows if I never have to wash the dishes again. And my mom said, she said, yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, for real? I mean, yeah. But then my sister always had to wash the dishes, so she hated it. Mm-hmm. But I did all the other things because I couldn't stand washing dishes. Couldn't stand it.
Wow.
But it's funny because just being home this past holiday, I could very clearly see the differences between like what me and my sister did growing up versus my brother. So like my brother was outside with my dad raking up the leaves and blowing the leaves. And they're looking at me and they're like, you can come outside. And I was like, I'm good. I'm gonna clean up the den. I'm gonna be in here. This is very interesting that it was so like, it was very gender role, but we didn't even really know that that's what was happening. It's just what we did.
Yep. Same thing. I never took out the trash. I never had to. My brothers always took out the trash. I did the inside stuff. Vacuuming was my number one, still is to this day. I love vacuuming because you can see the lines in the carpet.
Accomplishment. Yeah.
You're just so satisfied.
Yes. Candace, what about you?
I wish I had a brother. Like, let me tell you. So we grew up, me and my cousins, we all grew up in the same house when we were young. So that was like my experience with boys. And then as I got a little bit older and my mom, it was me and my stepfather and the girls, right? Just my sisters. So there was no like gender norming to be done. Like everybody, when I tell you I had to take out the trash because I was the oldest and we had to like go down the apartment and into the back and our trash can, when I tell you, we made spaghetti a lot. And so can you imagine spaghetti sauce in that little white hefty bag, dripped it down, and then you got to make sure it don't drip on your feet while you escort it to the, my life. Cleaning out the trash can, like putting your arm in there with the soap and the water.
Woo!
My life, okay? My life. My stepfather used to sprinkle seasoning salt, Lawry's, on the kitchen floor because I would always miss spots. And he was like, if I come in here and see seasoning salt on this floor, it means you didn't sweep it good. You got to come back. When I tell you, I'm probably partially blind now trying to find the seasoning salt.
Not the Lawry's, though.
Lawry's, as expensive as Lawry's is, he was willing to make the sacrifice to teach me how to sweep the floor. Yes. Sprinkle it out. And so the paranoia of it being left is what made me clean the floor better. But yes. And if I didn't do the floor that night, sweep and mop with bleach, I had to get up before school and do it. Can I tell you how many times my D-State butt showed up to school at 7 o'clock smelling like bleach? And teachers like, why do you smell like bleach? Oh, I had to mop them floors. I'm sure they thought something was going wrong in my house.
Oh my God.
We did everything because there was no like gender separation in my house at all. Everybody did everything.
Wow.
Now, I loved raking leaves because then we would jump in them. So that was always fun. We would like jump in the pile of leaves and play in them. But because our driveway was so long, we weren't allowed to take the trash all the way down to the end of the driveway. Yeah. So my dad would do that, or like he would put it in the car and we would drive with him down. So he was always with us. We never did that on our own. Mm-hmm. But I never even really thought about that until recently, like all the different things that we had to do versus what my brother did. And for real, I mean, I was kind of out in high school and college by the time my brother was coming up to do his own chores. Right. So I didn't even really get to see him learn how to do all that. So sometimes now when I see him as a grown man doing stuff, I'm like, where do you learn how to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Where's my little baby? Where do you become like this man hanging up Christmas lights on the porch? When did that happen?
So here's my question from that. Like now having done the things that you had to do, like how does that play out in relationship? Like, do you have certain expectations? Especially Jazz, like living with a man now, like do you take out the trash now? Is it ever suggested? Is it still?
No, I still don't have to. He takes out the trash. Like I take out the bathroom trash cans, like the smaller ones, and put them in the kitchen one, and then he takes that outside. So I still don't have to do trash, which thank you, Lord. But I mean, we split everything, mainly like since I don't mind cleaning the kitchen, I do the kitchen and he does the bathrooms. Like usually that's how it works out. And then like the thing is, he's a very tidy person just like me, so we don't have a lot of friction there. But yeah, we still have like unspoken gender roles. Like we never sat down and was like, okay, you're doing this, I'm doing this, but it just kind of naturally played out that way.
Yeah. I think that's where I'm going to have to figure that out, I think, in a serious situation. Because having to do it all and then being into a house, and I'll just naturally start doing everything. And then if he starts to do something, then I will do nothing. Like, I don't know where the middle is. But clean this house or I will clean this house, but it ain't going to be no we. And I would prefer that you do it. Thanks.
Well, I think after us being so independent also and, like, living on our own, especially living overseas for so long, we got used to being able to also do things ourselves, even if we didn't want to necessarily.
Yes.
So like for me, I do everything on my own now. I put together my own furniture, like all of that stuff is happening, but eventually I'm not gonna wanna have to. Mm-hmm. I would like to pass on that responsibility to him, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think I'm kind of in that same boat as you, Candace. Like I know I'm capable of doing it all and I have and I do, but I would also like to be like, you know what? You can take care of that, babe. Babe, can you put that bookshelf together for me?
But you know what? Those habits die hard because even now, like when we go grocery shopping and we got a trunk full of groceries, I'm grabbing for everything, like just out of habit, right? And like lugging everything up. And he's like, babe, like you don't have to, like, I'm here. Let me be your man. I got this. And I'm like, okay,
let me get the bag. That's why I mentioned it. Cause that's where I find the struggle for me is gonna be, is remembering that I'm not in this alone. Remembering that I don't have to find the Laurie season salt on the kitchen floor no more. Like, that's the struggle, right? And then the longer we stay in the single race, the harder that habit is to die. And it projects as, I don't know, what is it? Emasculating, I guess. Like, oh, I got this. And it really isn't that. It's just habit.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, Jazz, you started off asking us kind of what that music was playing, like what the music meant when we heard it playing in the mornings, right? Mm-hmm. For me, though, my first thing that I go to is if I heard my mom singing like, yes, Jesus loves me, I knew somebody was in trouble.
Ooh, really?
Because that was my mom's song for her having to calm herself down before having to whoop somebody's ass.
Ooh. You got to call the Lord before they call child services.
Are you serious?
No. Ask my brother and my sister. They will say the same thing. If we heard that song, somebody was in trouble. Because we knew that she was gearing up to do something and she was calling on the Lord to not hurt us too bad.
That is hilarious. But you know what? My mom used to walk around singing the same song. And for us, that signaled either it's time to get up and do Bible study together, or she about to come lay hands on one of us and pray and break out the anointing oil and, you know.
What? What a holy house.
But it's funny though, like, it's funny that, you know, same song, same experience, but two very different scenarios.
Oh my gosh. My mom used to count actually backwards. Ooh. 10, 9. But she would be over the kitchen cooking something, counting to herself. So whoever was like in earshot was like, oh, backing out.
So what were some of the things that you did or your siblings did to piss off your mom and warrant a smackdown?
That's a good question.
Talking back.
Oh, yes.
I had a very smart mouth. I thought I was grown. So mm-hmm. if I said anything, that was a problem. Mm-hmm. Terrorizing my siblings, which I was known to do, that would set her off. And talking back was probably my biggest thing, because I wasn't a respecter of persons. So if I didn't feel like you respected me, I wasn't going to respect you regardless of how old you were or what your job was or where we were at.
Right.
So I was very rude and very disrespectful to anybody. So that would definitely set my mom off.
Wait, show of hands, how many of y'all got popped in the mouth for talking back by the mom? Like the backhand pop? I think that's just every Black woman's rite of passage. Like if you didn't say something and get the backhand, did you really live? Like, yes, you at least had to find.
What would set your mom off or get you that backhand pop?
I was actually a really good kid. I can count on less than one hand how many times I actually had to get popped. The alley play was the first. I think the last one, I was 12 and we snuck boys into the apartment while my parents were away, and we broke a pane in the front door because our front door was like glass panes. We broke a pane and we were like, well, we can't tell them how we broke it because we were like playing around with boys. So we lied. But my baby sister is 10 years younger than me and she was 3 at the time, and we didn't know that she knew how to talk, right? She woke up from her nap and my mama then was there. She told the whole story. Full detail, and we were such amazed at the fact that she was making complete sentences. Like, we didn't even realize that our lives were in danger at the time. We was like, dang, her grammar usage is pretty awful. Oh, the whole story. We tell this story all the time, like, told the whole story. Mom, that they're lying. This is what happened. It was these two boys. One of them pushed Ashley to the whole story. Ooh. So we got beat for a while. It was a long whooping for that.
Yeah.
Sneak boys into the house. And we were so innocent. We didn't know what to do with them when they got there. We was like sitting on the couch like, okay, so want to play Jenga? Like.
Got some Uno cards.
That is so funny. That's hilarious. No, as a kid, I was definitely a rule follower. I didn't make good grades. I didn't cause no problems. And then I had two brothers on either side of me that was getting in trouble. So I would just learn from them, like, oh, they did that, let me not do that and get a whooping, right? So I can count on one hand the amount of whoopings or like smackdowns I got too. But I think I remember this one time where my mom said something to me and I like went to turn around and she's like, you roll your eyes at me. And I was like, no, I didn't. I feel like,
no.
But you know what it is? I blame my eyes because I feel like I didn't roll my eyes, but there was a couple times where I got accused of rolling eyes and I feel like I didn't. So I don't know. But I knew not to talk back because that was like number one, like you getting a smack down if you talk back. You better not say, you better not even sigh too heavy. You better not say, think nothing when she turned around to walk away after she done told you off. You better just.
Your face, can't show it. Remember, fix your face. If you have attitude on your face, why you got an attitude?
Yep.
Yes, all of those crazy questions that Black women ask. Oh my gosh.
I used to get popped by church mamas because I would take off my stockings in the car on the way to church. And I would show up to church without stockings on. And then they'd be like, they go to my mom and be like, why she ain't wearing no stockings? And mom would be like, I put them on it before we left the house. But I would take them off and hide them under the driver's seat because I always sat behind my dad. And I would hide them under his seat because I didn't like them. They were itchy.
Yeah.
So I would get popped for that too a couple of times by people that were not my mother.
Time out. Was that allowed in your situation, Jazz? Were other people allowed to beat you?
No, we didn't. My aunt could, like family could, but like nobody else didn't know. Okay. Except for our school. Our private school, the principal was allowed to paddle the kids.
Oh, see, I didn't get that. I was in the neighborhood. We didn't do that.
Well, ladies, we got a lot of commonalities. Hashtag growing up Black. I think we could talk about the Black church. We could talk about school. There's so many things. We might have to do a part two episode to this one, too. But thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe, like, share our content on YouTube, on Instagram, streaming platforms as well. And we'll see y'all next time.
Bye, y'all.